Well, welcome, my friends, to The Catholic Reason, a radio production of St. Michael Catholic Radio based here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, where we think through various claims made by the Catholic Church concerning issues of faith, morality, and sometimes culture, and provide reasons behind those claims. I'm Dr. Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers at Catholic.com, and a member of the Chancery Evangelization Team here at the Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma. The Catholic Reason airs locally here in Tulsa every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. on St. Michael Catholic Radio, 94.9 and 102.9, and across the entire Oklahoma Catholic Radio network of 15 stations, including 97.3 FM in Oklahoma City, 100.9 in Edmond, and 88.3 FM in Lawton. But you may be listening at a different time on your own local Catholic station outside Oklahoma, since the Catholic Reason is aired on other Catholic stations throughout the country. So regardless of where you're listening in from, a very special welcome to you, and thanks for joining me today. Remember, you can download the show through whichever podcast platform that you use by subscribing to the Eastern Oklahoma Catholic Podcast. That's the Eastern Oklahoma Catholic Podcast. And you can also access the archived episodes of The Catholic Reason at my website, CarloBroussard.com, under both the audio and video tab. And be sure to check out all the other great resources that I have available there for you. In previous episodes of The Catholic Reason, we looked at challenges lobbied against Christians for critiques of certain lifestyle choices. And some of those challenges included things like, you're being hateful and judgmental and bigoted, or you're being intolerant for critiquing certain lifestyle choices, especially those lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. Now, there are other challenges like these that make up what some have called the moral shame culture. And one such challenge is that Christian critiques of lifestyle choices, again, especially those associated with the LGBTQ plus community, are harmful. Now, keep in mind, I'm not trying to be hyper-focused on lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. I'm simply responding to charges that are made against us from whenever we critique such lifestyle choices within our moral system, within our system of moral beliefs. And so that's why I'm focusing on these issues, because these are charges that are indeed made against us as Christians within our everyday life experience. So I just wanted to make that caveat that I'm not picking on anybody, not trying to be hyper-focused. It's just, this is our reality that we live with, and we got to deal with it. And there are a couple, now there are a couple of ways in which people see these critiques as harmful. Because if the critique is made, well, you're harming those people when you offer your critiques of their lifestyle choices. So the question becomes, well, what reason do you have to think that we're being harmful? Why do you think our critiques are harmful? And so we're going to look at each of those reasons why they think it's harmful and see how we might answer this sort of charge that we're being harmful when we offer critiques. So again, this is an episode that's continuing our thinking through and how to respond to the moral shame culture. All right. So one way people within our culture see Christian critiques of lifestyle choices as harmful is that our criticisms make them feel guilty, which in turn, so it's argued, leads them to damage themselves or to harm themselves, even to the point of suicide. So Pete Buttigieg, former U.S. Secretary of Transportation, took this track in his criticism of the 2022 legislation in Florida, Florida House Bill 1557 and Senate Bill 1834, that banned classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity for primary grade levels in Florida schools. CNN Newsroom host Jim Sciutto asked Buttigieg in an interview, "Is this legislation dangerous?" And Buttigieg responded, absolutely. The reason? Well, Buttigieg went on to state this. It tells youth who are different or whose families are different that there's something wrong with them out of the gate. And I do think, he goes on, that that contributes to the shocking levels of suicidal thoughts and suicide attempts among LGBTQ youth. So that's Buttigieg. That's why he thinks our critiques are harmful, precisely because it's going to lead to self-harm. So damage to self, that's the harm that Buttigieg thinks our critiques of beliefs and lifestyle choices of professed members of the LGBTQ plus community will lead to. Now, it's true that Buttigieg here is speaking in part about young people's desires to be romantically involved with a member of the same sex or to be a member of the opposite sex. And by quote unquote wrong, when he says telling them something's wrong with them, it's hard to tell exactly what he means. And so I just want to make a few comments on that at the outset. It's important to note that the Catholic Church does not judge the desire for such relationships as quote unquote wrong in the sense of being immoral and thus subject to moral guilt. And by desire, meaning sort of that when one comes to an awareness that they're having this attraction to a member of the opposite sex, or they're thinking they're having a desire to be a member of the opposite sex, that initial desire in and of itself is not judged to be immoral and thus subject to guilt. What we judge to be immoral and thus subject to moral guilt is the behavior that such, we would say, disordered desires lead to, and what would be subject to moral guilt and immoral would be the intentional stoking and cultivating of these sort of desires that we would judge to be disordered. So it's very important to understand what we judge to be immoral when it comes to these sorts of issues. Not the desire in and of itself, but simply the behavior that the desires are ordered toward and the intentional voluntarily cultivating of the desires. Then it would become subject to moral guilt. Now, when it comes to these desires, the church's critique is that they are disordered. That's to say, not in line with what the Creator intends, given our human nature. And you can read about this in paragraph 2358 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The desire itself and the judgment that the desires are disordered has no bearing as to whether the individual is culpable or not. Now, as to why these such desires are disordered, I would encourage you to check out my 2020 article, Different or Disordered, at Catholic.com. So if you're wondering, why does the church think these desires are quote-unquote disordered, even though not immoral and subject to moral guilt, we do have reasons as to why we think these desires are disordered and not just different. So regardless of what Buttigieg had in mind by his statement, when they say something is wrong with them, whether it's calling thoughts disordered, maybe that's what he had in mind, or the actions that the desires lead to as immoral, maybe that's what he had in mind. The point is the same. Criticizing thoughts, whatever the criticism may be, criticizing thoughts or behavior, people with Buttigieg's mentality would say instills guilt, and guilting people causes real and serious harm. So that is the reason, one reason, why people within our culture think that our criticisms of these beliefs and lifestyle choices are harmful, because whatever the criticism is, it brings about guilt. It instills guilt within the person because we're saying something is wrong with them in some way, whether the desire is just simply disordered or whether the behavior itself they're engaging in is immoral. It's going to instill guilt within them. It's going to make them feel guilty, and that's going to lead them to self-harm. So that's our first target. Now, there's another way people think we cause harm to others when we speak critically of their beliefs or lifestyle choices, and that is we hurt their feelings or we're offending them or causing emotional harm. In response to the previously mentioned 2022 Florida bill, then President Joe Biden went to Twitter and called it a quote unquote hateful bill, vowing to the LGBTQ plus community to quote, fight for your protections and safety you deserve, close quote. There's no need for Biden to protect members of the LGBTQ plus community unless he thinks their safety is in jeopardy. But what does he see as threatening their safety? Well, the answer is obvious, not affirming members of the LGBTQ plus community or critiquing members of the LGBTQ plus community in their desires to pursue romantic relationships with members of the same sex, and, of course, their desires to be members of the opposite sex. In other words, to say that same-sex relationships, same-sex romantic relationships, and the associated sexual activity, and transgender lifestyles, the behaviors that the desires lead to, are wrong, to say that they're wrong, is a threat to someone's safety in the mind of Biden. It's harmful in the mind of then-President Joe Biden and others who would think like this. I'm just using former President Joe Biden as a concrete example. Now, Biden doesn't say exactly how it's harmful, but we can reasonably infer that he thinks our critique of such behaviors is offensive to them. And for President Biden, that offense is harmful, a harm that they need to be protected from. Now, I'm coming up on my first break, so on the other side of the break, we're going to pick back up and look at some more examples in our culture. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Catholic Reason. Well, welcome back, my friends, to The Catholic Reason, a radio production of St. Michael Catholic Radio based here in Broken Arrow. I'm Dr. Carlo Broussard, and in today's episode, we're looking at yet another challenge posed to Christians that makes up the moral shame culture. Namely, that Christians are causing harm whenever they offer critiques of beliefs and lifestyle choices, especially those beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. And in our first segment, we were talking about reasons why people think we're causing harm, one of which is that whenever we offer critiques of beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community, it's viewed as if we're causing guilt within them, and that guilt in turn leads them to harm themselves, either with suicide thoughts or suicide attempts. So that was the first reason, which establishes one target that we're going to need to respond to and address. And then before the break, I was articulating another reason why people think we're causing harm to others when we offer these sorts of critiques. And that is that we cause emotional harm within them. That is to say, we offend them. And I use the example of former President Joe Biden, who calls these sorts of critiques hateful and that is causing harm that needs to be protected against. They need to be protected against. And we can reasonably infer from his statements that the type of harm that he envisions is offense, being an offense to them, offending them, causing emotional harm. Now, this view was explicit in a 2020 Cato Institute survey, finding that 62% of Americans say they won't share their beliefs because they fear that others might find them offensive. And the survey points out that the number is 4 points higher than what Cato found in 2017. So that's an explicit example of how people think that sharing your belief, which would involve a critique of other people's beliefs that you disagree with, is going to be offensive to them. And so people refrain from sharing those beliefs. In 2022, YouTube pulled from the internet a video clip of an interview that Laura Ingraham, a Fox News host, did with Tulsi Gabbard. Then she is a United States Army Reserve officer and former U.S. representative for Hawaii's 2nd Congregational District. She had criticized the United States military-industrial complex and its involvement with the Russian-Ukraine war. And YouTube's message for why the clip was taken down said that the content was, quote, inappropriate or offensive for some audiences, close quote. Now, of course, that didn't have to do with beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. That was just an opinion that was contravening or conflicting with sort of the common quo status opinion of the day. And so simply because of the disagreement and the conflicting opinion, it was viewed as being offensive. So there are two basic reasons so far that we've articulated in today's episode as to why people in our culture think Christians are harming others when they critique beliefs and lifestyle choices. And as we've seen, whether that's associated with the LGBTQ plus community or not. Number one, we're guilting the people, the behavior of whom we're saying is immoral, and thereby leading them to harm themselves. So that's the first reason. That's going to establish the first target that we need to respond to. And then secondly, we're emotionally harming them by offending them. Now, there are two approaches to take in responding to this modern shame tactic. The first is a general critique of the challenge itself, regardless of the reasons for the challenge, regardless of the reasons why people think we're actually harming. So we're going to take a general approach in our response. And then the second response is a critique of each of the reasons given for why some think our criticisms are harmful. So now that we have the stage set, let's start with a couple of general critiques of the challenge itself. So just the idea of our critiques are causing harm. That's what we're going to respond to now. So to begin our general response, notice that people who use this line of thinking, people who pose this challenge to us as Christians, are actually guilty of a double standard. Very much like we saw in previous episodes dealing with the moral shame culture of thou shalt not be intolerant, say, or judgmental, hateful, bigot. These people assert that we're doing violence to or harming another person by critiquing his beliefs as false or his lifestyle choices as immoral, either because it will lead him to harm himself or because it's going to be offensive to him and thus cause him emotional harm. But notice in making that claim, right, in saying that we should not be critiquing beliefs as false and lifestyle choices as immoral, in making that claim, they're in fact critiquing our belief, namely that we can make such negative criticisms of beliefs and lifestyle choices. And they're also critiquing our lifestyle choice to actually voice our view and opinion. So notice, they can critique us and potentially lead to all these harmful effects, but we can't critique others? That seems to be a bit double-minded and self-serving. That's a double standard there, or what you might call special pleading, holding us bound to a standard. We cannot critique others' beliefs and lifestyle choices, but yet not holding themselves to that very same standard, since they're critiquing us Christians in our beliefs and lifestyle choices. And so that's the first general response to the general command that we shouldn't be critiquing beliefs and lifestyle choices lest we harm people. Moreover, by their own logic, by the challenger's own logic, their critique of us, that's to say demanding that we never criticize a belief or a behavior, does violence to us, making us feel guilty, either leading us to harm ourselves or offending us and thus causing us emotional harm. So if they truly love others, as they say they do, then they shouldn't critique our belief or lifestyle choice and just let us be. That is to say, if they're going to be consistent with their own logic. So not only is it a double standard, but if they're going to be consistent with their logic, then they should leave us be and stop critiquing us in order to be loving towards us, which is ultimately the motivation as to why they say we should not be critiquing others. Recall, they say by critiquing others' beliefs and lifestyle choices, we're going to cause them to harm themselves. Well, what's the implication? You're not loving them. You're not being loving towards them. So that further implies that we ought to be loving towards others. Well, again, according to their own logic, if they want to be loving towards us, well, then they need to stop critiquing our own beliefs and lifestyle choices. Okay. And that's it. That's all we got to say concerning the general response. With our general response out of the way, let's now turn to the idea that our criticisms of persons, of people's belief and lifestyle choices would lead them to harm themselves, particularly through suicide. If we should stop, consider this, if we should stop criticizing beliefs and lifestyle choices simply because such criticisms might lead someone to harm himself, but then folks, we would have to stop criticizing all beliefs and lifestyle choices, since such criticisms might lead the person that we're criticizing to do harm to themselves, right? So let's say, for example, we criticize a person's racist beliefs and his racist behavior. If we were to follow the logic embedded in this modern moral command that we can't guilt people by telling them their behavior is wrong lest they harm themselves, well, then we'd have to refrain from criticizing such racist beliefs and behaviors, lest our criticisms lead the racist person to harm himself. But surely most people of goodwill would recognize we can criticize racist beliefs and behaviors and that we ought to. So, since the thou shalt not guilt moral modern moral command eliminates all criticisms of beliefs and lifestyle choices, which is clearly not something most people want to buy into, we should not abide by it. This idea that we cannot criticize beliefs and lifestyle choices, we should reject that. Not even as a Christian from supernatural revelation given to us by Jesus, but just as right-thinking human beings. Because if we abide by that command, we should refrain from criticizing beliefs and lifestyle choices, especially those associated with the LGBTQ plus community, lest they harm themselves. Well, then we're not going to be able to offer criticisms of any belief or any behavior, including racist beliefs and racist behaviors. But of course, people of goodwill are going to not want to pay that price, right? Now, another response involves what many call turning the tables. Reverse the situation and expose the flaw of your opponent's position. This modern command says that if we don't abide by it, we'll do violence to others, leading them to harm themselves, right? But in fact, abiding by the modern command is what does violence to others. And there's no place where this is most evident as in the lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. Because studies have shown that self-harm and thoughts about self-harm are highest among those who embrace the lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community, namely same-sex romantic relationships and so-called, quote-unquote, gender transitioning. That's where the harm lies, in affirming those behaviors. There is great harm that is brought about. And we're going to look, just as a sample, at some of the statistics that show such harm is involved in these sorts of lifestyle choices. We would be harming them and affirming them. But I'm coming up on my break, so I'm going to have to pick back up on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Catholic Reason. Well, welcome back, my friends, to The Catholic Reason. In today's episode, we're looking at a specific challenge to Christians that makes up the moral shame culture, namely that Christians are causing harm to others in criticizing their beliefs and lifestyle choices, especially those beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. Now, in response, we offered a general critique of this idea itself, highlighting and showing how it falls prey to special pleading because it employs a double standard. It holds the Christian to the standard of not being able to critique beliefs and lifestyle choices of others, but yet the one who's posing the challenge is actually critiquing the belief and lifestyle choices of Christians. So it's a double standard. And then furthermore, if they are to be consistent with their own logic, then they should leave Christians be. If they wanting to be loving toward others according to their own logic and what love is, they should refrain and stop offering criticisms of our beliefs and lifestyle choices. But of course, they're not going to want to do that. Now, we also began to respond to this one specific reason why people think we're causing harm when we offer criticisms, namely that it's going to lead them to harm themselves, like with suicide and stuff. And so we began to respond to that specifically and arguing that if we can't offer criticisms of beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community, because that's going to lead them to harm themselves, well, then by that very same logic, we wouldn't be able to offer criticisms of beliefs and lifestyle choices, any belief, and offer a criticism of any lifestyle choice, including racist beliefs and racist lifestyle choices. But of course, I think most people of goodwill will see how we can't pay that price because we should be offering criticisms of racist beliefs and lifestyle choices. And so we can see and conclude that we need to reject this idea that we can't offer criticisms of beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community, lest it lead them to harm themselves. Okay. Now, there's another response that I was beginning to articulate before our last break, and that is turning the tables on those who offer this challenge. It's reversing the situation, exposing the flaw of your opponent's position. So think about it again. This modern command, that thou shalt not criticize other beliefs and lifestyle choices lest it lead them to harm themselves, says that if we don't abide by it, we'll do violence to others, right? Leading them to harm themselves. But in fact, I'm going to argue here that abiding by this moral command, this modern moral command, is actually what does violence to others. There's no place where this is most evident as in the lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. Because studies have shown that self-harm and thoughts about self-harm are highest among those who embrace the lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community, namely same-sex romantic relationships and so-called quote-unquote gender transitioning. So let's take same-sex romantic relationships first. Several studies throughout the years have shown that those who actively live out the homosexual lifestyle have higher rates of suicidal tendencies. Now, I have a pretty substantial list of these studies in my book, The New Relativism. You can check it out. But for our purposes here, for example, take the study published in the journal Archives of Sexual Behavior that involved Dutch men who actively live out the gay lifestyle, and they have a suicide rate that's five to seven times higher than those who do not. So here's a summary breakdown of the data. Death wishes, 26.8% versus 5.8%. That's almost five times higher. So that's death wishes. Suicide contemplation, 40.2% versus 7.8%, over five times higher. Deliberate self-harm, 14.6% versus 2%. Over seven times higher. And that this study was done in the Netherlands, where the environment of tolerance for gay lifestyle is very high, that forestalls any counter that such negative effects are due solely to social stigma. If 40% of men who engage in same-sex romantic relationships and the sexual activity involved contemplate suicide, well then, folks, affirming them in their activity is to do violence to them, since it would contribute to them doing harm to themselves, whether mentally contemplating suicide or physically actually committing suicide. So we can see how, rather than offering critiques of these beliefs and lifestyle choices and inviting someone to give them up and turn their life around doing harm, affirming them in their beliefs and lifestyle choice, in these beliefs and lifestyle choices, would actually be doing harm to them. So if we're wanting to avoid harm out of love for other, that love would move us to invite them to change their behaviors and their beliefs rather than encourage them to continue in them. Susan Cochran, psychologist and professor of epidemiology at the UCLA Fielding School of Public Health, along with her associates, published an article in the Journal of Consulting and Clinical Psychology and concluded that lesbians, gays, and bisexuals, quote, use mental health services more and are at a higher risk for suicidal ideation, suicide attempts, and self-injurious behavior than heterosexual siblings. Now, the same sort of evidence exists for so-called, quote-unquote, gender transitioning. For example, a recent study published in the journal Pediatrics showed that trans youth, quote, had higher odds of all suicidality outcomes, and transgender males and transgender females had high risk for suicidal ideation and attempt. According to Paul McHugh, former psychiatrist in chief at Johns Hopkins Hospital and University and distinguished service professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University, in his 2015 article at Public Discourse entitled Transgenderism, a Pathogenic Meme, quote, 10 to 15 years after surgical reassignment, the suicide rate of those who had undergone sex reassignment surgery rose to 20 times that of comparable peers, close quote. McHugh made this statement based on a follow-up study of people who received the surgery that extended over 30 years in Sweden, where the culture is very supportive of transgender people. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services acknowledged the results of the study in Sweden, which found high rates of suicide, along with other mental illnesses, among transgender people. Its 2016 memo, Gender Dysphoria and Gender Reassignment Surgery at CMS.gov states this, quote, the study identified increased mortality and psychiatric hospitalization compared to the matched controls. The mortality was primarily due to completed suicides, 19.1-fold greater than in control Swedes, but death due to neoplasm and cardiovascular disease was increased 2 to 2.5 times as well. We note mortality from this patient population did not become apparent until after 10 years. The risk for psychiatric hospitalization was 2.8 times greater than in controls, even after adjustment for prior psychiatric disease, 18%. The risk for attempted suicide was greater in male-to-female patients, regardless of the gender of the control. Further, we cannot exclude therapeutic interventions as a cause of the observed excess morbidity and mortality. The study, however, was not constructed to assess the impact of gender reassignment surgery per se. So, given this evidence that I've shared with you, it's not the violation of the thou shalt not guilt moral modern moral command, or thou shalt not criticize beliefs and lifestyle choices lest they harm themselves. Rather, it's obedience to it. It's following that command. It's the encouragement of people to engage in same-sex romantic relationships and the associated sexual activity, and the encouragement of undergoing genital mutilating surgery and body chemistry disordering hormone regimes that actually does violence to others, leading them to harm themselves through suicide and increase their likelihood to think about suicide, thus causing emotional harm. So the very thing that people within our culture are trying to avoid by criticizing us from critiquing their beliefs and lifestyle choices, namely harm, is the thing that's actually being brought about and caused in affirming these sorts of beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. So if love really is the motivating factor here, a love that we have for others that would involve our wish for them to not experience harm, to try to help them avoid harming themselves, well then we ought to stop affirming them and celebrating their beliefs and lifestyle choices. And of course, I'm talking about beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. Love should move us to want to invite them to change their beliefs and change their lifestyle choices, precisely because affirming them in those beliefs and lifestyle choices, according to the scientific evidence, is causing more harm than good. And so, again, if we're going to follow the logic of love here, We need to stop affirming people in these lifestyle choices and invite them to change their lifestyle choices and adopt the lifestyle choices that involve behaviors that are consistent with our natural designs of human sexuality, which of course is a testament to the will of the Creator concerning our sexual design. Okay, so that concludes our critique or response to the reason why people think we're harming others by critiquing their beliefs and lifestyle choices. Namely, we're going to lead them to harm themselves. The next one is that we're causing emotional harm because we're offending them. But we're going to get to that on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. Well, welcome back, my friends, to our last and final segment of today's episode of The Catholic Reason, where we're looking at a specific challenge that makes up the moral shame culture, namely that Christians are harming others by criticizing certain beliefs and lifestyle choices, especially those beliefs and lifestyle choices associated with the LGBTQ plus community. So very briefly, I'd like to just summarize where we've been so far, what we've gone through, and set up what we need to address in our last segment here. So recall how I said there are basically two reasons why people think we're causing harm when we offer criticisms of these beliefs and lifestyle choices. And by criticisms, I simply just mean we're saying, yeah, that belief is wrong. That belief is false, doesn't comport with reality. That particular lifestyle choice is immoral, is contrary to your human good. That's all we mean by this. So one reason is such criticisms are going to bring about guilt within the other person, and that in turn will lead them to harm themselves. And so that was one reason. And then the second reason is we're going to offend them and therefore emotionally harm them by offering such criticisms. And so we offered a response, a general response, just to the challenge itself and saying, hey, listen, this is a double standard here. You're saying we can't offer criticisms of belief and lifestyle choices of others, but yet in the very same claim, obligation you're imposing upon us, you're critiquing our beliefs and lifestyle choices as Christians. So we can't critique others, but you can critique us. That's a bit of a double standard. And then furthermore, if you're going to follow your own logic of loving others, like we should not critique lest they go and harm themselves, well, then they would have to stop critiquing our beliefs out of their own logic of love and just leave us be. But of course, they're not going to want to do that. Now, with regard to the specific reason that the criticism is going to bring about guilt and lead them to harm themselves, we noted how that logic would eliminate criticism of all beliefs and all behavior, for example, including racist belief and racist behaviors, but that's something that we don't want to go with. And then we can turn the tables. I gave stats and evidence that shows that people who engage in these sorts of lifestyle choices, who have made these lifestyle choices, are at higher risk of suicidal thoughts and actual suicide, both in the same-sex romantic relationships and the so-called gender transitioning. So if we're going to follow the logic of love, rather than affirming these people in these lifestyle choices, we ought to be encouraging them to give them up and change their lifestyle choices. Because by affirming them in these lifestyle choices, we're only doing them harm, according to the statistics and the studies that have been conducted. Now, what are we to make of the challenge that our criticisms of people's beliefs and lifestyle choices cause harm to others by offending them or simply causing emotional distress? Recall how we said that's another reason why some within our culture think we're causing harm by offering criticisms of their beliefs and lifestyle choices. Well, one thing to say is that people just need to get tougher when others disagree with them. Part of being a grown-up is dealing with disagreement in a healthy way. That's part of being mature. So that's the first thought. And second, life is not about what philosophers call feelings management. And that's defined as the idea that we live our life trying to balance our feelings with mostly positive feelings. Feeling offended, which may very well arise when someone tells you that your belief is false or that your lifestyle choice is immoral or wrong, is not a positive feeling. This being the case, such a criticism is seen as an attack on one's happiness, and thus is perceived as a personal attack. That is, if one is living their life solely by positive feelings management. But folks, think about it. Life is not about feelings management. It's about managing our pursuit of the truth, especially the truth about ourselves as human beings, and not only the pursuit of that truth, coming to know that truth, but living our lives in accord with that truth when we do find it and discover it. Discovering such truth might not give us pleasant feelings at first, but given that we're made for the truth, we know that it's the only thing in the long run that will make us truly happy and give us peace. And as already pointed out, the studies map on with what we would know here philosophically. And so that's basically my response to the challenge that we're causing harm by offending them. Life is not about positive feelings management. Okay, it's about the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts initially, but ultimately when we conform our lives to it, we will be at peace. So now that we've gone through the reasons why people think Christians are being harmful when people criticize their beliefs and lifestyle choices, I'd like to offer some thoughts as to why I think we should critique certain beliefs and lifestyle choices, even if it causes them to feel guilty or offended. And it's as simple as this. We critique beliefs that we consider false and lifestyle choices that we consider immoral so that the person whose beliefs and choices we're critiquing may come to know the truth and live in accord with it, which constitutes his good as a human being. Contrary to what moderns think, such critiques arise out of love for the other. We as human beings are made to know the truth. We're just hardwired for that, which is just another way of saying that we're made to know what's real. We're made to know reality. And we're also made to behave in a way that's consistent with what we know is real. That's to say, what we know to be true. And that's just our nature as a rational animal. We're not merely animals. We're a rational animal, a human being. And so whenever we do that, that's to say, whenever we come to know the truth and live in accord with that truth freely, which constitutes our rationality, we flourish as human beings because we're living out our nature as a human being to its maximum capacity. That's what we're called to be and to do. So not to expose a false belief implies that we actually don't care about whether a person knows what's real. Think about that. To not tell them the truth implies that we don't care about them knowing what's real. And if we don't care about whether a person knows reality, well then, friends, it follows that we don't care about whether that person lives in accord with what's real or true. How can there be love or care for the other if I just shrug my shoulders at the hope for that person knowing the truth and living in accord with it? If I don't care about the person knowing truth and living in accord with it, well then I don't care about them as a person. I don't care about them flourishing as a human being. So the answer is, I cannot care if I just let them know something that I know is false or let them continue to live according to that false reality. Yet this is exactly what the moral shame tactic that we've looked at in today's episode entails. Don't criticize other people's beliefs or lifestyle choices, lest you make them feel guilty, even if you think their belief is mistaken or their lifestyle choice is contrary to their good as a human being, i.e. immoral. Let them be. Well, of course, that implies we don't care about them. My suggestion that we should critique beliefs and lifestyle choices, even if it causes guilt, on the other hand, does show care about whether a person knows the truth and lives in accord with it. Guilt might not be the immediate motion we'll get here, right? Probably the immediate reaction will be defensiveness or anger, but guilt is a worthy goal to pursue. And notice, not a goal in and of itself, but a goal that is oriented toward another goal. Inspiring the guilt within gets them to realize what they're believing is false or choices they're making are wrong, which in turn has the potential to lead them to conform their beliefs and lifestyle choices to what is true and good. A healthy feeling of guilt for a wrong belief or an immoral lifestyle choice can inspire a person to reject the false belief and the immoral lifestyle choice and to assent to true beliefs and choose a morally good lifestyle. And this precept that we should critique for the sake of care, that we should help someone come to know reality and conform his life to it, that's surely a moral command that's worth abiding by. Contrary to the modern moral command of thou shalt not offer criticisms of belief and lifestyle choices lest we cause harm with them. I'm suggesting to you that we should offer criticisms of beliefs and lifestyle choices that we think are false and immoral precisely because we want that person to know the truth and to live in accord with it so they can experience happiness and flourishment as a human being. That's caring for others, folks. Well, that does it for this week's episode of The Catholic Reason. My claim today is that the modern moral shame tactic that Christians are harmful by critiquing beliefs and lifestyle choices, especially those associated with the LGBTQ plus community, has no force. Their demand that we not offer such criticism is a double standard. Affirming such lifestyle choices and beliefs is what actually leads to harm. Life is not about feelings management, and the loving thing to do is to help someone see what reality is and live in accord with it. That's the caring and loving thing to do. Well, friends, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Catholic Reason, a production of St. Michael Catholic Radio based here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Remember, you can download the show through whichever podcast platform you use by subscribing to the Eastern Oklahoma Catholic Podcast. And remember, you can access all the archived episodes at my website, carlobroussard.com, under both the audio and video tab. I invite you to join me again next week for The Catholic Reason as we continue looking at Catholic claims and the reasons behind them. I can promise you we got more good stuff to come, so you don't want to miss it. Tell a friend. I'll talk to you then. God bless you, my friends.